Good morning, everyone. Pastor Swanson, speaking of a good boy, I was one. I was just sitting right in front of the teacher's pulpit and at school, and I was on the right, and another two more good boys are sitting right here, these three, so that we'll shut our mouth during the teaching every day. I had so many stories, but I'm not going to go into it. But I don't know how that bad boys, three right here, and I was not only one time, a couple of times, I was kicked out from the class, how I ended up here preaching to you. You know, that's a mystery. It's good to have my wife over there, and I appreciate her encouragement. I want to exhort you today. Okay, you have done a great job this semester, and some of you in my class, you all did a great job. And you have two more weeks to go, is that right? And I want you to finish great. And I want to exhort you. You know, one thing that I came here and I really love is to just to get to know you little by little. But it's just this is part of my really joy, just being here. And I didn't think that I'll be teaching at BCM originally. But God gave me this opportunity. And I'm just enjoying to get to know you. Now, let's just turn the Bible. Let's go to the Genesis. Genesis 2:9. You know the problem when you get old? You feel like you want to say something. Okay, so I'm going to say something. And we're going to talk about time. Okay, I spent a little bit more time than you did. So, not as much as pastor here. But I'm more than 50 now. So let's just talk about time, okay? Everything takes time. Have you noticed? Yes. Everything takes time. And for you all BCM students who have just so much time available, yeah, you may not understand what I'm talking about. So Genesis 2:9 says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, God created life to grow. No brainer, right? He made it that way. In fact, he seems to command every tree to grow. What's the purpose of growing? What's the purpose of growing? Well, if you look at here, it is to be pleasant, desirable, and good for food. Why do you bear food? Why does a tree bear fruit? Well, food is for others, right? And also produce themselves to grow and multiply. In other words, lives for others, lives to grow. Now, growth is an evidence of life. You know, growth is really exciting, right? When you see trees and now you see the green bud coming out, it's exciting. By the way, do you know how to know if a tree is dead or not? You cut the branch, and if you look at the branch, and if you see this lively, sometimes even the greenish and lively brown core in it, and you can tell. You may not be able to tell right away from outside, but when you cut the branch and you look at the inside, you know if that tree or plant is alive. Growth is a pattern of a visible, directional, and meaningful changes over time. I can tell that you live because you change us over time. Now, the speed is different, though. The rate of growth are different individually. Now, in this verse, we notice the three important words. Let's look at one more time, Genesis 2:9. There are three important words: grow, and life, and knowledge. Knowledge means to know. To know. Now let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And you will see these same three words in this verse. God's mind hasn't changed a bit. Started from his plan of life, full life, to grow. Still the same here in the New Testament. 2 Peter 3, 18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you missing a word life here? Well, there is. It's Jesus Christ. He's alive. Christ is life. And we are to grow by the grace of God so we will know him more. Knowledge to know him. Now, growth takes time. It takes time to grow, as I said in the beginning. And that's what I want to talk about. Take time to grow. We found life in Christ, and our spiritual growth takes place through knowing Jesus deeper as we are rooted in the Word of Truth. It takes time. Now, this is all in wonderful truth, but there is a challenge. The challenge is, I repeat it over and over here, but it's time. It takes time. For you young people, sometimes it is troublesome. Because, you know, you want to get going. You know, you want to finish the course, you want to move on. And especially this culture doesn't help us at all. And I'm with you. You know, fast food and instant ramen noodles, your best favorite snack. It just doesn't help us. I'm just reminded over and over, when my son was taking the violin lessons, this teacher said, hey, this is not a ramen noodles. You gotta take time. It takes time to memorize this music. It takes time. You're not gonna understand this music in 1 week and boom, the orchestra. No. It takes time. Now, the challenge is, of course, time here. Now, have you asked why everything takes time? Now, can we go faster? You know, have you thought about, can we go faster? My favorite bumper sticker is, are we there yet? And have you seen those? You know, are we there yet? And, I mean, if you use GPS and you want to get to destination, you have three choices, right? Which one do you choose? The fastest one, of course. Nobody's going to say that, okay, I want to take 5 more minutes today to get to school. You know, nobody say that. We're going to just get there as fast as you can, and you finish the job. Okay? But in all this rush of your life, you know, we forget. We forget to take time. That's the last thing we want to do. You know, complete opposite. Our life and the culture is just completely opposite to how God designed our life. But I understand we got to get the job done. Right? We got to get the job done. You have to put your hands on the plow. So how do we do this? How do we kind of reconcile these two seemingly contradicting facts? We need to take time, but we need to get the job done. And hopefully quickly, right? So let's just dig in a little more. Child training, okay? Some of you, in a Lord willing, will take part in child rearing. It takes time. It's just each one. My wife and I tried to count how many diapers we changed over the years, and we gave up. It just takes time, a lot. Okay, a lot. All right. Enough. Right. I said music training. So all of you are engaged, many of you engaged in music training. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's the greatest practice exercise to learn, to take time, to do anything, to even make the music beautiful and sounding great to somebody else. It takes time. And somebody has to bear all these just strange noise from the strings for a long time, like my wife and I. One time we had 3 pianos at home. That was enough. It almost collapsed our floor. Proverbs 22:6 says, this verse is just got me, because Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Amen? That sounds good. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. There seems to be this infinite time gap between these two words. It says, go and end. There is years between these two words. And when he's old, it's not asking how old you are when you're old. Raise your hand if you think you're old. Okay, a few hands. Thank you. But most of you think, no, I'm young. So, sounds like a child training is not completed yet for you all. No? You probably need to talk to your parents and listen to your parents. When he's old, he will not depart from it. It takes time. Miles Stanford says in his book, The Green Letters, it seems that most believers have difficulties in realizing and facing up to the inexorable fact that God does not hurry in his development of our Christian life. He is working from and for eternity. Eternity lengths. In Philippians 1:6, let's turn to Philippians 1:6. And his thought continue here in this book, but Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6, Apostle Paul wrote, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, how long is this in this one verse? Like time span. What is the time span of this one verse? Somebody just shout out, how long is this? From the beginning to the day of Jesus Christ, how long is it? It's definitely lifelong, isn't it? At least for your lifelong. Until the day of Jesus Christ. So that's the scope of God's work. He which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began the work of transformation, and he continues it in you. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. And pay attention to, though, this Paul's confidence. He's very confident in this God-prescribed, God-designed process. He said, I am confident. Being confident of this very thing. How could Paul be so confident? Well, I'm actually asking you. How can be Paul so confident?
He'd seen it himself.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. Anybody else? Yes. He was confident in God. Yes, absolutely. He is confident in God who performed. That's why he was rest. He was confident. He was not struggling. He was not nervous. He was confident in God in this process. The keyword is a process. You are in the process. We want a product without going through a process, right? We talked about like music accomplishment. We want the result, but nobody wants to go through process. Praise the Lord that you are going through those process. You wanna buy something? Yes. I mean, you click, few clicks in Amazon, it'll show up at your doorstep. We don't want to go through that process. We don't need to see the process. We don't need to see the factory. We don't need to see all the workers making it. We don't need to see the delivery process, logistics and payrolls. We don't need to see that. We just want a product right now. And I'm guilty. But that's all happens because of the process. When there is a bad, when the product failed in the quality check, what would a project manager do? He's not going to look at the product for half an hour and just trying to figure out. No. He would go right to his plant and he'll go through all the process of manufacturing. Every machine, every human errors, he will check process. See, the product is the result of a good process. And you're in it. You're in that process. You're in it for a long haul. Did you know that? Well, you don't have to stay here at the BCM for 20 years unless you choose to do so. But this is not the end. It's long haul. Personal spiritual growth is a process. We can't demand a product without going through a process. Good life is in the process, good process. It is true that you want to enjoy the process. If your whole goal is to get to the destination quickly, you may miss the blessing in the process. Now, in my tiny backyard orchard in Ohio, I had a few fruit trees, and I had a great time growing fruit trees. Now, other than one dead apple trees and diseased apple trees, another dead pear trees, I did really well. Okay? And I had only a few left. But the one Japanese pear tree, that I just treasured it. It's called a hosui. It produced this juicy, sweet pear tree that you never had before. It's just amazing. Now, enjoy that process, seeing it and growing it. And one time I had a chance to talk to the real professional orchard, okay? It's not like a backyard orchard, grower like I was. And he actually grew the same Japanese pear trees in his orchard. And he was very successful, of course. So I struck a conversation and asked him, so what kind of fertilizer do you use? You know, that's a good question, isn't it? And he said, oh, I don't use anything. And I said, you got to be kidding me. You got to tell me. So he says, no, I don't use any fertilizer to specific Japanese pear trees. And I said, well, how do you do that? Well, he said, the snow brings nutrition. Yeah, nitrogen and all the ions. And he said, snow. All right. So when we had a big snow during the winter, that actually helps to grow my fruit trees. I said, oh, wow. And he said something like this. And at that point, you know, that was a spring, and I already spread these tons of fertilizer around my tree. And I said, oh, no. And he told me that, you know, you don't want to do that. He says, why not? Well, those fertilizer will kind of give you a quick shoot, like a boost, you know, one of those caffeine drinks that you drink. You know, just to give you a boost. And grow too fast, too quickly. And that sounds good, but he said it's because it grows too quick. It grows too early, and it becomes more vulnerable to all these disease and fungi and stuff like that. It kind of lose the immune. It messes up the immune system. And I thought that that's very interesting. There is no shortcuts, you know, in fruit trees. You just need to let, in a way, that nature takes place as you take care of the trees. Of course, there is a process to take care of, but you work with it. You work with God. Let Him guide you. You don't want to give yourself a boost out of your own interest. You need to let God grow you one step at a time. Now, during the period of a few weeks in the spring, there is just a fascinating process takes place, which is pollination. When the flowers started to show up, those are the beautiful time. Apple trees and pear trees, they all have a very beautiful white, pink, white flowers. Now, why is this process important? The flower. It's your time to answer again. Yes? Somebody says bees? Yes, bees. So pollination. So this in this beautiful flower, there are pollens. These pollens are what brings new life. Amen? Now, wind takes place and that helps, but really bees, and especially some cross-pollination. Apple trees, almost all apple trees are cross-pollination. So you need to have another kind of apple trees, and you have a good balance. Is that right, Jed? Some pear trees, though, they are self-pollinating. But I realized if you were doing the cross-pollination, it grows better. So this is really inner, relational, very dynamic process. I thought that is a good illustration of places like a college you are in. You know, this interrelationship and work with faculties and your peers and the church. And this is a great place to grow. It's a dynamic. It's not just self-pollinating, it's cross-pollination. Now, this time is also crucial, too. We've got only 2-3 weeks into this flowery season. In 1 year, I had a beautiful flowers. And I was just so excited. This is going to be really great. This is going to be great. And then, snow hit and frost. And I was just looking at, I was thinking, debating, should I cover? Can I do anything, water, whatever? But at the end, I thought I made it, but all the flower came down. And I had zero fruit. And there is nothing I can do about it. Out of 5 years, I had only, no, 6 years, 7 years, I can't remember. Only 1 year I had a grapefruit, more than 100. But still only 1 year. It's a crucial time. Those frost, snow, can just kill the whole thing. It's a crucial time for you right now. You need to work with God. You need to let God work through this process. But this is also a great time to produce the life. And this will really start the new growth. Now, I want to be also help you and encourage you. Let's be careful not to measure the growth based on the rate of your growth. Like I said, you don't want to compare. You don't want to jump in to find a way to measure your growth based on where you are. And in fact, we have such a mindset of the fast growth. If we are not growing fast enough, you feel like you're not doing well. And your growth, even if you feel like a slow growth, that is not backsliding. Not at all. So let's be careful not to jump in and measure yourself measure against something else. Take time. Miles Stanford again in his book warned us, saying, unless we see and agree to this, there is bound to be constant frustration. To say nothing of resistance to our Father's development process for us. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. We do not frustrate the grace of God. We do not reject the grace of God. We do not set aside grace of God. It's available. We grow in grace, and that is the agent to help you grow. Now, he also uses an illustration. A student asked the president of his school whether he could not take a shorter course than the one prescribed. Oh, yes, he replied, the president. But then it depends upon what you want to be. When God wants you to make an oak, he takes 100 years. But when he wants to make a squash, he takes 6 months. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Colossians chapter 2, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. Here in the chapter 2, verse 6 in Colossians said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Every tree goes through a slow growing during the winter, as you know. That creates the ring. It forges the tree, though. It makes it harder, and the wind makes oak tree stronger. The key is to continue in knowing Christ by the grace of God, trusting God in every step of your life. Be careful, try to project your life too far based on where you are. If Joseph had done so in prison, he could have come to a quite miserable conclusion. We can't project too far. God will allow you to see. God gives you vision. Let me remind you, Joseph was 17 when sold into slavery. He waited over a decade, enduring the betrayal, slavery prison, before God began to even lift up to Joseph. All the way, the Bible says, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was growing in the Lord all this time. Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace, in the world, another 40 years in the wilderness. He was 80 years old when God called him to lead the people of Israel. How about David? David served his family as a young shepherd. He spent many years running away from King Saul, who was determined to hunt him down for a reason David was not responsible for. Abraham was 75 when God promised a child. He waited another 25 years for Isaac to be born. Think about Paul. He spent many years, even after his salvation, spent being discipled before he started his mission work, growing the knowledge and the grace. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to this reality of growing in the Lord. Stanford wrote again, a meter is on a shortcut as it proceeds to burn out in atmosphere, but not a star with its steady light so often depended upon by navigators. A patient continuation in walking with God will give you full deliverance and make an impact in the lives of others. Now, I understand the dilemma that you want to reach the world. That's why you're here. I understand you want your neighbor to get saved. You want your family member and your friends to get saved now. Because hell is real. Life is short. Absolutely. But we must trust God. He's in that process now with that neighbor. He's working on his work. When I was with my children and my wife and handing out flyers and tract in my neighborhood, and I realized many people know Swensons. So Wally Swenson and his family lived in this three houses from us last 30 years. And almost, he said he painted many, many houses in the neighborhood. And many people I talked to said, oh, Falls Baptist, I know that's where Swenson goes. And oh yeah, they invited us to church and over and over. And that's been like 20, 30 years they've been doing that. That's the work of the Lord. It's not me trying to start something new in my neighborhood. God has been doing the work. And God is planting me there, and my wife, and my children, to just continue the work of the Lord. Your neighbor, your family, the places you go, God is at work. God has been working. Having this dilemma, you have to have God in your heart, because it can give you a rush. But the knowing that God has been working, knowing that these are process, and just allow yourself to be used in that very moment, and God will do the work. Philippians chapter 3, 12, and I will finish. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press forward, knowing that God is at work. Eternity, God is at work. I encourage you to continue your work and take time, even this summer break, take time, spend time with the Lord as God allows you to participate in different opportunities to serve the Lord, help your family, help your church, go to the missions or work, whatever it is, just continue. And understand you're in the process. It takes time. Go with the Lord.